for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, May the 26th, 1984. Memorial Weekend Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the Lord. I got kind of caught into this unexpected web this morning. I had no intentions of ministering, so I just rolled the big guns out last night. Could we talk? Rap? There's so much hurt because of the lack of communication. And this problem started with husband and wife, then it started with parents and children, then it started with leaders and subjects, and now it's become an international problem. Sometimes we won't talk, sometimes Russia won't talk, and the whole communication barrier has broken down. It's just absolutely, there's no communication. And I said some things last night that blow your mind. A young minister in Detroit said, "I don't intimidate you." Well, I don't care to intimidate you. I want to challenge your mind, but I don't want to offend you. But if you could judge my spirit, who believes I got a good spirit? I'm not trying to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. Don't get that attitude. I'm not trying to prove no points. We're trying to unravel this mystery. And the mystery is, we won't all sleep. And I had no intentions of even getting into these areas when I came here. But if you'll judge by my spirit and the spirit of my wife and my head elder and his wife, that we're here to love you, be a blessing to you, and want you to love us. Come to see us. We're not a Johnny come lately. We don't have all the solutions. But we do know the problem. And I believe what Brother Glenn read a while ago, there's never been a people like this people.
That's right. Never been.
There's nobody like us.
I'm glad I'm part of it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nobody's ever had the audacity to take authority of this world and satanic powers and set up a kingdom and say we're going to rule and reign with Christ.
Amen.
There's somebody just got enough guts in them to say we're ruling and reigning this morning. Hallelujah. That's all we're trying to do is to challenge your spirit to become an overcomer. Hallelujah. Now the age-old question is, pointed unto man wants to die. I can teach about a week on this, but I'll just barely hit it. Jesus Christ met that appointment. If you're familiar with Dake's Bible, get you one, borrow somebody's Bible, Dake's Bible. In 1960, God gave me a revelation out of Dake's Bible. When he said it's finished, Dake has 16 major things that was finished at Calvary. Now, Dake doesn't believe them, but at least he's got them wrote down. This is where I really got a hold of it, from Dake's Bible. Let me know what Dake's Bible is. Finished Dake. He knows the Bible by heart. He used to know where all the commas went and all the periods. And he's a very brilliant man, but he doesn't have any sense. He's an intellect. There's nothing wrong having an intellect as long as it doesn't begin to think it's doing its own thinking. Then it becomes a part of the soul realm. But anyway, everything was finished at Calvary. Now we have to walk it out and we have to make it happen. See, we was birthed on this side of that appointment. Okay? The wages of sin is going to hell when you die. What's the wages of sin? It's not too hard to understand, is it? Of course, the commentators and the intellects will say that's going to hell, but it's not really what it says. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is going to heaven when you die. Isn't that marvelous? Is what? That means God. God. You got the gift. The gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether I can fully apprehend or comprehend that is irrelevant. Praise God, I have not the gift of life in me. Thank you, brother. Whew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 29 and 30, it starts out about the tribulation of those days. We used to buy parts for a certain parts fellow, and of course, he believed in the rapture, and I, every time I'd see him, I said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, not to give him ulcers. He'd get so flustered, he couldn't even think. And this went on for several years, and one day he said, okay, he said, I want you to explain this. And I said, you see all these parts? Yeah. I said, you know most of the stock numbers by heart. Got 25 years in here, and he's got them all memorized. I said, I'd be a fool to come in here and try to explain all these parts and memorize all these stock numbers because I'm not familiar with them. And I said, I just cannot unravel a mystery in the Scriptures in a 15-minute sermonette. It's impossible. I couldn't learn the parts business overnight, no more than you can learn algebra if you was in the first grade. So, it's line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, Brother Johnson asked the question this morning, and we all asked the question, if I could see somebody do it. Well, I'm not your example. And as soon as you believe I am, God will kill me to show you that I'm not your example. He's the example. He has risen. And I'm not bound by any of man's failures. We're talking now. If nobody ever obtained, the message is still in the book. Sister Johnson opened up yesterday morning three stages. Remember? But there was a fourth stage there that she didn't deal with. Jordan. And you'll have to arrive in all the three of these other states before you can ever walk across Jordan. Let me tell you something. Next time you preach this, sister, we'll add the fourth one in there. Because four is creation. Okay? But you don't go across Jordan horizontal. Oh, I got to cross Chile Jordan. When I get there, the Lord will go with me. We've always been taught we got to cross Jordan horizontal. No, you cross Jordan vertical. You walk across Jordan. Stepping on the stones of the foundation. And I got about 1,100 sermons here, but just listen to me a little bit. We're talking. You walk across Jordan. Except for a bag of bones, and they drug down the cross. But anyway, hallelujah. But the principle was that Elisha never knew what he had a hold of. Elisha was like the church of the day. We want a double portion of the gifts. Pay my car payment. Give me a better house. Heal my headache. Save my children. Solve my marital problems. We're seeking the gifts. Because we've been trained that God's a Santa Claus. Name it and claim it. Grab it and blab it or something. Faith is marvelous, but God is not a Santa Claus. And all that Elisha could see for 10 years, praise God, if I could be like Elijah. But the greed was in him. I want a double portion of it. I've stood alongside of some of the greatest men in the nation. Prayed for literally thousands and thousands of people. Seen all kinds of demons and miracles. But there was not an overcomer in the crowd. I lived with A.A. Allen. I've hunted lions with Allen. I've preached with Allen. I've healed the sick with Allen. But he wasn't an overcomer. He had a gift. Come on. Well, let's be honest about it. Bill Freeman, we just talked about Bill. Bill and I came out of the same organization years ago, but Bill wasn't an overcomer. Now, I'm not throwing those stones, but just because we've got a gift or God's given us something, there's no sign we're overcomers. And if we're not overcomers, we're going to perish. But Elisha had a desire with a selfish ulterior motive. I want a double portion of what Elijah got. This guy's been popular. Now, I want to be twice as popular. That's what he prayed. But you see, what Elijah had a hold of, Elisha never did come into the confidence of what Elijah had. I said, last night we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Elijah had immortality. I said, Elijah didn't die. But nobody will preach that to you. Because that's far-fetched. That's false doctrine. Did Elijah die? They couldn't find the bones. They couldn't find where they buried him. He just didn't die. God took him. But poor old Elisha and his grief never could see that. He just wanted a double portion of miracles. Well, hello, sister, you're awful quiet. Am I blowing your mind or theology? You're drinking in, all right. I'm not excited. I hope y'all don't get excited. But you see where I'm coming from. And he believes Elijah did not die. But Elisha didn't know that. He saw it, but he didn't know it. But through his ignorance and faith, he received eternal life. Elijah, we have 8 recorded miracles. Elisha, we have 16, and he had a double portion in miracles, and that's great, praise God. But one day, Elisha come to the end of the miracle rim, and he died. And the meat rotted off of his bones, praise God, and he was in an open grave or an open pit, alive, and didn't even know it. Come on, there's a bunch of fellows got in a fight one day, and they killed an old boy, and they said, well, let's get rid of this fellow before they find him and find out what we've done, so they just throwed him in on a bunch of dead bones. But they wasn't dead. And the life that was in the bones of Elijah resurrected a dead man. And Elisha never did know what he had. I rest my case. Wished you was a lawyer instead of a doctor. Am I telling you the truth? You guessed so. I thought this fellow's an intellect, see, but I blowed his mind. Did the bones of Elisha raise up a dead man? I'll rest my case.
Well, that was Elisha.
Well, when did God start being respecters of persons? We just don't know what we got a hold of. Because we've been satisfied to eat the things we could see. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I told Brother Johnson this morning, let me share this with you. In the beginning of the creation, as we know creation, 6,000 years ago, God took a tree of life. Now, we can speculate on what it is, and I can tell you what it is, but let's just say a tree of life. Is that all right? In the midst of the paradise of God. Is that Bible? You don't know. You just... Okay. How many knows that? That there's a tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. How many knows that God never did take it out? And for the last 6,000 years, the tree of life is still in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, the tree of life is still in the midst of the paradise of God. The flood had no effect on it. It's like the law, see? The law had no effect on the covenant. A lot of people trying to live under the law, the Ten Commandments, and maybe some of you folks want to live under the law. But the law has no effect on the covenant. The law was not the covenant. The covenant was made before the law was. All the law was for to reveal sin. And it was 430 years after the covenant. If you're still living under the law, you're 430 years behind the covenant that God promised you that you could live. And I'll leave that alone. How many knows the law come after the covenant? The law had no effect on the covenant. It did not change it. The flood did not have no effect on the promise of God. Okay. When we get to the end of the next 1,000 years, Brother Johnson and I made up our mind we're going to be there at least another 300 or 400. See, we're going to run an ad one of these days in the Memphis paper or the Dallas something. What do you got down there? Dallas Times or something? 300-year-old evangelist coming to town. That's going to bring a revival. Glory to God. Here's an organ that's a couple of 100-year-old. Lord, sing like a mockingbird. But when we get to the end of the next 1,000-year period in the book of Revelation chapter 22, guess what? The tree of life is still in the midst of the paradise of God. God never took it out. He made provisions that man couldn't eat of it in the fallen nature, but the tree is still there.
And when we lose this fallen nature and put on the nature of our Heavenly Father, we're going to learn how to eat. Adam was on a probation period. He was on a marital system and a probation period. You're on a marital system and you're on a probation period. We're talking. Who's got any children? You got any children, doctor? This is one of your boys? Well, okay. We're going to bless him and give him an inheritance and make him an heir to my state. And just about the time he starts to enjoy that, we're going to give him cancer and kill him. Just shoot him. Best way to get him, just kill him. Now, that's a sadist, isn't it? That doesn't make good sense. But in our theology, we've let on like that God's got to kill us to take us to where he is so he can give us our inheritance. That's a sadist. God healed a man of a heart attack, and a few years later, let him have cancer and die. If God wanted you to die, he'd just let you die when you had the heart attack. He didn't come that you could die. I quote it this morning. Let's look at it again. John 10:10, the thief comes. The word is Erkamai, a perpetual coming. The thief is always coming. Is he not? And the thief comes to rob, steal, destroy, and by the way, kill. Everybody believes that. Say amen. But there's a latter half of the same verse. Jesus said, I am come. Still Erkamiah, I am the coming one. Moses said, who in the world am I going to tell Pharaoh to give me this authority? I am a sufficient Moses. Whew, glory to God. I'm Alpha, Omega, I'm going to give you everything in the middle. But I am come. That you can all be killed by the thief, and I'll take you all to heaven when I do come. Let's read it what it says. Let's forget about what we think it says. I am come that you might have life. And guess what? Have it abundantly. That's God life. That's perpetual life. That's flowing life. That's always eternal life. Well, I wouldn't preach it if it wasn't in the book. Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about cursings and blessings. The whole book deals with it. Chapter 29, he lays it a little stronger. Chapter 30, it's a good place to start this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Would you believe the book? Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. Don't try to understand it, just believe it. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, King James Version. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven. And this will blow your mind when you get a hold of this. It is not in heaven. Everybody say it's not in heaven. That's the reason I don't want to go there. Lord, help me get out of this mess. It's not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. See, all of our Pentecostal lives have been based on this, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. I'm in verse 12 now. If somebody would just go to heaven and bring it back and tell me how to do it, I'd believe it. God said, no, I'm not going to let that monkey be put on my back. It's not in heaven. That you'd have any kind of an excuse why you couldn't have it. Verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea and for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou may do it. Everybody stick your tongue out. Come on, get it out there. Don't be bashful. Get it. And say, it's right here. It's right here. Come on. It's right here. Some of you ain't doing it. See, you didn't hear what he preached. See, if you'll get this in your mind subconsciously, you'll remember what I'm saying this morning. Now, let's do it. It's right here. Huh? It's right here. Come on. It's right here. It's not in heaven. It's not across the sea. It's right here. Say praise the Lord. That's Bible. That's not theology, that's Bible. It's why here. John 6 and 63 says what? The words I speak, they are spirit and life. Why here? Man is condemned and man is justified by the words that he speaks. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. A wholesome tongue is the tree of life. We can talk it either the way we want the pendulum to fall. Whew! It's not in heaven, it's not across the sea, but it's nigh thee in thy mouth. That you may hear it and that you may do it. But you can't hear it if you don't speak it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Somebody come to me today, said, I want to take you down and introduce you to Dave Wilkerson. Said, I want you to preach the message of life today. He said, he's open for it. And I don't know whether I will or whether I won't, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. If you don't never hear, you'll never be challenged to believe. Heaven. I drawed a line on the blackboard in Georgia last week, and I put an A here and a Z here. And there's 26 letters in our alphabet. And you can take those 26 letters and put them in any fashion you want to and produce any kind of a word. But if you don't know how to arrange the letters in proper order, you just got a massive mess on your hand. 26 letters can accomplish a vocabulary and pages of books and Webster dictionaries this thick, praise God, out of 26 letters, but it takes a mind that knows how to put them together. I declare unto you, when God made you in the image and the likeness of God, he put within you all that you need, praise God, if you could put it together to learn to live and move and have your being in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 15. See? Have a revelation. Come into an understanding. Tell somebody, I want to see. I want to see. Lord, take the veil off our eyes and let us see. Somebody read me Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is, in verse 16. Somebody quoted. All right. And the people that sat in the darkness saw great light. Now, this is after the resurrection. Come on. Read the rest of it.
And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death.
And them that sat in the regions. And knows what a region is. And the shadow of death. There was what?
Light is sprung up.
Light is sprung up. And you know that light is synonymous with life. I hope you know that. The revelation, understanding, doesn't make no difference. It's still the same Greek word. We get our word phosphorus from. And radiation and light. So you can have a revelation this morning sitting in the regions of the shadows of death, and light can come to you by revelation, and you can start trying to live instead of quit preparing to die.
Amen.
See, we spend all of our life preparing to die. Let's prepare to live. Somebody said, well, if you don't, well, you ain't lost nothing, because you sure ain't going to live if you don't try. You don't have to do nothing to die, but nothing. Just sit around and relax and hold on and hold on. The first thing you know, praise God, you're going to die. And I get so amazed at these people that want to go to heaven. And I covered this last night, but let me hit it just a little bit this morning. About the time they think they're going to die and go to heaven to see mama, huh? They wire a finger out. Hello, operator! This long distance? Yes! Yeah! Give me the paratire in Tulsa, please, operator, hurry. I'm about to die and go to heaven and see mama. I want the paratire in Dallas or Tulsa. Don't we do it? We don't want to go see mama. We're deceiving ourselves. We'll spend every dime we got to keep them going. We'll sell the farm to keep them going. We'll even call Doc to keep them going. Why do you think this fellow's in business? Because people don't want to die and go to heaven. Well, come on, let's talk. I ain't trying to preach, I'm just talking to you. Is it making any sense to you at all? All right. Whew. You know what I've done? I've got so bold, and I don't want my wife just skins my shins. Because she said, well, people think you're a smart egg. No, I'm not a smart egg. I hope you feel my spirit. I'm just honest and bold and plain and simple. This is cornbread and water preaching. This is nothing hypothetical about this or really way out. It's just simple. I don't want to die. And you don't either if you want to be real honest about this thing. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Oh, God. See, in Ezekiel 36, the Ezekiel starts dealing with a new humanity. The same principle that he uses in Jeremiah 31 and 31. But in Ezekiel 36, he talks about a new humanity, putting the laws in their hearts and their minds. Amen? That's good. But just a few pages over, you come to Ezekiel 37. And guess what happens there? You get stripped. Huh? And you become a bunch of dry bones. I told brother this morning, I said, God doesn't have no scruples when it comes to stripping. He don't even ask my permission to take everything I have. Well, maybe some of y'all will have to go through this. But God is going to strip every son. And he's going to purge every son. You got to hear me by the Spirit. And you're going to become a part of the valley of dry bones. Now, you can leave that to old naturalism if you want to, honey, but God ain't a working with naturalism. God's working with spiritualism. I'm just going to hit this fast. Hallelujah. How many like to be a part of what God's doing? You'll have to go through Ezekiel 37. Then the argument comes in, can these bones live? The prophet said, well, God, you know. And God said, no, buddy, said, it's up to you. Should you prophesy to these bones? God knows you can live, and God knows he wants you to live, but you've got to come to the consciousness that a bunch of bones can live. You've got to prophesy to these bones that they can live. Come on, say, bones, I can live. Bones, I can live. Come on. Lord, you know if they can live or not. No, you know that they can live or not. But see, after we get the bones alive in chapter 37, then we go into 38. And 39, and that'll blow your mind. That's devastating. That's the wars and the Armageddons and all the battles. Are you familiar with Ezekiel? Ezekiel 38 and 39 is devastating. But through the midst of Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's a bunch of bones that come out of chapter 37 that's alive, praise God. And guess what happens? Chapter 40, we start building the kingdom. Well, we spend the next 8 chapters building the new heaven and the new earth and the new city of God, glory to God, out of a bunch of bones that come through the war, hallelujah, and we're still alive when we get to chapter 40. Raise your hands and praise God. Whew. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I didn't go to sleep about 3 o'clock this morning because I was wound up. My mind was afire. And I kept seeing that $500,000 I walked off that last day. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. What God's got in store for them that love him and keep his commandments supersedes a $500,000 that makes it look like a grasshopper compared to a mountain lion. Come on now. Hallelujah. Brother, you don't have to worry about no deed or trust or no inheritance or enough money to pay the bill or a place to live. When we once walk into the kingdom of God, we're going to possess the whole. I figured on being governor of the state of Mississippi. I figure on having all the money. Come on. In the storehouse and in the treasury. We're going to own the banking systems of America and around the world. Well, God, see, you ain't got to hold the message yet. We may not look like today, praise God, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. God's got a treasure for us. Hallelujah. And the whole world is going to fall into our fingertips. And we're going to become kings. And kings own the whole thing. Hallelujah. And they rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And after that, we step into a dimension of an endless time. And we'll no longer be bound by time because we proved for 1,000 years we could rule and reign as kings. Oh, God. See, Daniel in 12, he talks about the 1,260 days. But there's 2 more time slots in there that nobody will preach on. One of them is 1,290, and one of them is 1,325. But you see, the 30 from the 60 from the 90 leaves 30, and 30 is the maturity in God's number. But you see, from the end of the Daniel's last half of the week, the 1,290 days, there's a 30-year expansion over into the 1,000-year reign that God's going to have a group of people that's going to walk 30 years, praise God, and reach maturity in the millennium and make this thing work. then we're going to go 45 more years and days into it, praise God, and prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're going to come to the end of 1,325 years, and glory to God, we're not going to be distressed, and we're not going to be defeated, and the smell of smoke is not going to be on our garments, but we're going to set up the kingdom of God, and it's an everlasting kingdom.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Back to Deuteronomy 30. Hallelujah. I want to show you something. Have a revelation. I set before you this day. Are you afraid of that word? Life. Remember, it's not heaven. It's life. And good. Now set something else before you at the same time. Death and evil. Now you can take either one of them you want. And there are several meanings of this word life, but one of the old original Greek or Hebrew words is klobal. And I was looking way back in some old history books and some interliners, and I found one day that the commentator said to make alive, even raw flesh. And I went star crazy. Come on. God said, well, you didn't hear that, see, because you don't understand. God set before Israel, well back yonder, a principle of life that would make even raw flesh alive. How many knows you raw flesh? How many knows you got a treasure in earthen vessels? You don't have no treasures over yonder, honey. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to open up your understanding. You don't have no treasures over yonder. If you got any treasures, it's all. It's in earthen vessels. Boy, that's rough, but you got to hear me by the Spirit. Whew. When Jeremiah dug out this thing after 7 years and read the law and heard the devil, and I don't have time to go into church history, but I'll tell you one thing for sure, that wasn't just an accident. That was a type and a shadow of the thing that Jesus Christ come to give you, and there's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's doxa, that's nature, that's character, that's dignity, that's power and authority, that's everything that he is. Hallelujah. I set before you life and death. This day, good and death and evil. Here's the key, verse 16. And that I command you this day to love the Lord thy God and walk in his ways and keep his commandments and do his statutes and his judgments, that you can all go to heaven at the rapture of the church. What does it say? Now that's plain living. I set you a set of rules and laws and commandments, and if you'll keep them, you can live. Well, I don't believe it. Well, you've got a problem. You just die, you know. It's not the unpardonable sin. God will still take you to heaven. But you still have to come back. Don't forget that. Whoo, glory. You can live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, that's all that I'm saying this morning, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I will denounce unto you this day that you shall surely die, perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. The order has not changed. Y'all were the quietest congregation I preached to in a long time. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Tell somebody you will choose life. You will choose life. This old boy don't know whether he wants to choose it or not. Come on. Get that hand out here. Now, I'll tell you what I've done in my boldness. I've quit praying for people that believe they got to die. I really have. My dad laid at the point of death a few weeks ago, and I went to him, and I talked to him, and I said, Dad, you got two options. Get your burial policy fixed up and get ready to be buried, or get right with God. And live. And he was almost in a coma at that junction. There's somewhere this week in Oklahoma, in Wichita Falls, Texas, tell you the truth, preaching revival, him and my mother.
He decided he didn't want to die. But I asked him this question. I'm going to ask it you this morning. If you believe you got to die, I'm not going to pray that you can be healed. I'm going to pray that God will give you another cancer, another heart attack, and get you dead real quick. Now, this is rough, but it's right. And it's, come on now. See, if you believe you've got to die eventually, there's nowhere in the world that I can pray for you. Because I don't believe that. And my faith won't work in your unbelief. And Matthew 9 and 29 said, according to your faith be it unto you. So if you believe you've got to die, you've got to die. There's nothing I can do about it or God Almighty can do about it. He'll not go across your faith or across your will. As long as we're bound by this tradition. We've been talking about church order and church tradition and the rapture of the church around here this week. Let's break some church tradition this morning. You was not promised death. And if you've got to die, then just go ahead and die. Quit trying to be delivered and quit trying to get somebody to hear you and quit trying to stay alive. Just hurry up and die. Pray for me, Doc. I love you. Does that make good logical sense? If you really believe you got to go, just hurry up and go and get it over with. Save the rush. I didn't say that, but you did. Jesus said, I'm not a God of the dead, and I better leave that alone. But anyway, he didn't come that you could die. He come that you could live. And you don't have to argue about that. That's just in the book. But the next time somebody is really in trouble and they want you to pray for them, you ask them, do you really believe you got to die? They say, yes. Eventually, say, well, I'm sorry, I can't pray over your faith.
Amen.
There's no need to wasting my time and my prayers if you don't believe it. You're having a hard time with it, Lord. Help her to believe it. Now we got to find out how. And that'll take a month preaching. Oh, Jesus. Lost my dollar. That's my marker. I wanted to preach Mark 10, and we touched a little bit of it in South Carolina the other day, and let me paraphrase it and reminisce just a little bit. I think it saved a lot of time. Hallelujah. There was a rich young ruler that was so independent and so selfish he didn't want to be seen with a crowd. He was a loner. Mark 10 at verse 17 it starts, and I'm not going to read it. I just want to talk about it. And the Bible said that he came running. He really wanted to make an impression that he meant business. But he waited till everybody else got there so he could come in and be seen. And he had a revelation. He said, good master, what shall I do that I can go to heaven when I die? What did he say? What can I do that I might inherit or be a reception of each receptacle of eternal life? You know the story. Whew. Jesus began to give him the commandments. And he didn't give them all to him. He just gave him 6, 7, and 8. I believe it's the order. But he said, I have observed or I have kept all of these from my youth up. And this word observe is a military word. I have been rigid. I have been very, very religiously kept the commandments. I have not broke no laws. But I know that I need something to bring me eternal life. And I believe we're all in that place this morning. I believe we've been living as good as we know how. I don't believe there's no sinners in us. I don't believe there's, you know, I just can't see that spirit here this morning. I believe we're walking in what light we have, but we know something's lacking. And Jesus said, one thing you like, and I think I like it, and I think you like it. We're not talking about poverty now, and we're not talking about dollars and dimes. We're talking about an attitude and a purpose and a goal and motives. Sell out. Matthew 6 and 33 is the key. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Oh, God. Are you hearing me by the Spirit? Now, some of us have had to sell out financially. But in our selling out financially, down inside, we resented it.
Amen.
I used to get boiling mad when I saw that old cow pastor that used to be a cow pastor when we lived in Tulsa. My wife is a native of Tulsa, born and raised there. And before oil ever went out there, that's the cow pasture. And we used to go out there just riding around. And to drive out there now and see the city of faith is something stirs over inside of me. I used to resist that. Well, see, y'all don't have these problems, but I'm as smart as Oral. And I'm just as good a preacher as Oral. But I wasn't ordained and programmed for that dimension. I've been called to higher, brother. You've been called to higher. But, oh, God, and I want to say this without hurting anybody's feelings. I don't care what Oral does or anybody else does. If the end result is cemetery and death, I don't want nothing to do with it. That's a hard saying. And I don't have to look for a cure for cancer. But God, I don't want to say that and be mean. Pray for me. Don't let me get in a bad spirit. I don't have to have a research to find a cure for cancer. I am the cure. Come on. Can the Lord cure cancer? God don't need no medical science to cure cancer. And I don't want to offend nobody. I just want to challenge your thinking. Hallelujah. Honey, these folks never will let me come back. But I hope you love me. And I hope you love the brethren that's in that. And Brother Johnson, his wife, and others are going to be used to go in there and pull people out of that. See, we're not throwing no stones at it, but we're just telling you there's a higher order. Glory to God. I don't understand it. Well, we have dropouts. Some of us don't have much book learning at all. And others has got degrees on degrees, and doctors have got a degree here, and then probably, you know, there's another degree on the top of that degree. There's no limit in what degrees a man can get, is there? No, I know they don't mean nothing, but if you want to apply yourself and study and get involved, you just keep on getting degrees. But you can stop anywhere you want to, on any level, from a third grader right on up. And the same principle works in this book and in the message. You can level off anywhere you want to level, praise God, or you can just learn to rule and reign with Christ. But Jesus said, one thing thou likest. Verse 21, beholding him, loved him. And I feel this morning, I love him and I love the principles and I love, you know, I just can't throw no stones at my mother. The Bible said, honor my mother. So I'm not going to throw no stones at my mother because eventually I've got to feed her. Revelation 12. And the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life to get victory over is guys that have thrown stones to me and been prosperous and bypassed me intellectually and financially to know one day I've got to go to them and feed them and love them. Come on now, that's going to take some doing on my part, and I can do it now, but a few years ago I couldn't do it. That's loving your enemies. Well, Jesus said, he said, one thing thou likest, go thy way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, take up a cross and follow me. Now the last commandment he gave him, of course, was the 10th commandment. And this is the commandment that suits all the periods prior to the setting up of the kingdom of God. But you see, he rejected the king, and when he rejected the king, he rejected the kingdom. See, Jesus Christ doesn't have to come to be king. He is king. And when this young ruler rejected Jesus Christ, he rejected the king, and consequently he rejected the kingdom. But the thing that he really hit him with was the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. That's been the hardest one for me to live by. We still like to covet. There's something about this Adamic nature that just wants and wants. I believe he preached it. God, I loved it. I preach it. I believe it. You can't satisfy the lust. You start out with one pack of cigarettes, the first thing you know, you got to have two a day. Pretty soon, you got to have four. Your lips blister and turn wrong side out, and you still want a cigarette. Come on, you just drink till you get super drunk, and you still want to drink. There's no satisfying lust, which is the end result of having the covetous spirit, and the covetous spirit has got to go out of the body of Christ, and we got to be content in whatever state we are in and still have a good spirit. That's the key, having a good spirit. And that's been hard on me, because I'm a strong man. Whew. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we come through this last ordeal just a few months ago. And that bed
of being paralyzed and broken and crushed all to pieces, I come to a final decision. There's not but one thing important, being alive. God, there's no money, there's no house, there's no prestige, there's no position, there's no ministry. There's nothing as important as me being alive this morning. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank God you're alive. Don't worry about nothing else. Hallelujah. 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 My God, be blessed and thankful that you're alive this morning. You're alive. Come on, and praise God. Hallelujah. I'm alive. I don't have time to worry about the other problems in life. That's hard on me. Now, you don't know me like I know me, but I know me. And God brought me to a place this year, hallelujah, to be thankful I'm alive. Church gets built, fine. If it don't get built, I ain't going to get excited. Come on now. If I get a house to live in, I'm going to enjoy it. If I don't, I'm not going to get excited about it. Come on now, if that town car gets fixed, fine. If it don't, it's set there and rust down. Glory to God, I refuse to worry about anything except being alive. Hallelujah, thank God you're alive. Doc, tell somebody you're glad to be alive. I got him a thank you. Hallelujah. I like being like him in my congregation. Now, verse 27, they talked about it being impossible. And I don't want to deal with this because I don't have time. I just got 30 minutes and I got to quit. But Jesus, looking and beholding them, said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. I don't know how the old bleached out bones of Elisha stayed alive, but I know that they was alive. And I know Elisha never did know that they was alive. But with God, all things are possible. I can preach on faith here now. This is my faith sermon. But you see, Jesus said to him that believe all things are possible. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, these are some hard statements. So I'm not going to deal with it. But I want to tell you that it's impossible for you and I to arrive at the dimension that I'm challenging us this morning to arrive to. But it's not impossible in God. If God wants to keep John alive till he comes, Peter's none of your business. Huh? Peter got all shook up and said, what are you going to do with John? Jesus said, ain't none of your business, Peter. Said, you just follow me. Said, if I want to keep him alive till I get back here, said, that ain't none of your business. Huh? Y'all don't know that story, but read it. Huh? Whew. Can you imagine the look on them fellows' faces and they boil that oil, got it going real hot, and got a great big old pot of it just to boil in the bubble, and throwed old John in there and he didn't fry? Now, he shook up them people. Come on, how many know they buried him and he didn't die? Well, you see, this is too far-fetched for some of you. On deck, he fries them catfish and hush puppies. You drop that catfish in there, he just boils and boils directly. He fries out and he floats to the top and he's done. But praise God, John floated to the top before he was done. He just jumped out. And he wasn't burnt. And they said, man, this is too hot to handle. Let's go to put him on a Patmos by himself and isolate this joker. We don't have nothing to do with him. I'm still in the book. Well, it's possible with God. Here comes old Peter. This is where I've been all these years. You know, I've been complaining about this thing. Peter said, oh, God said, we've left all, verse 28, to have followed thee. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, there's no man or no woman that has left houses, our brethren, our sisters, our fathers, our mothers, our wives, our children, our lands for my sake and the gospel. Whew, that he shall receive a hundredfold. Good measure, pressed down and running over. Luke 6:38. Now in this time, everybody say this time, I'm expecting a hundredfold of everything in this time. Of houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Oh, yes. With persecutions.
and in the age to come, eternal life. And I'll have to tell you that we're in a new age. We're in a day of eternal life, and I've got to hurry. Praise God. Are we all adults? Go with me to the book of Matthew. Hallelujah. Now, I won't have time to cover this. I'll give you some scriptures and you read and study. Matthew chapter 19. I'll show you the principle of eternal life. Matthew 19 and verse 12. And don't read ahead of me. Read with me. Let's read verse 11. I think that would help us. Matthew 19, 11. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this, saying, save they whom it is given. All men can't receive what I preached this morning. But if it's been given to you, reach out and try to receive it. Verse 12, for there are some eunuchs which are born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Now, I want you to get your mind out of the natural and get into the spiritual. Years ago, God spoke to me a word. Israel's got to be circumcised a second time. And we that teach circumcision, you understand where I'm coming from. And we that understand the Israel principles and areas, you know what I'm talking about. But when Joshua got ready to go into the promised land, God said, Joshua, you got to circumcise Israel the second time. Every Israelite is circumcised, even today, spiritually. Paul said he's not a Jew who circumcised one outwardly, but he's a Jew who circumcised inwardly. And if you're not circumcised, you're not an Israelite. Now, I'll leave that alone because that's another message. Now, we're not talking about naturally. Now, we're talking about spiritual circumcision. And there were two things involved about the circumcision. It was for a sign to all people. And it was, again, to cleanse and purify the seed line. But there was a new group of humanity that went into the promised land that had to be circumcised. And I believe in the spirit that God's speaking to me in these last few years, there's a new group of humanity that's fixing to walk into the promised land that's got to be circumcised. But in the principle of circumcision, there's always the ability to reproduce. We still have the ability to sin, to get frustrated, to get mad, to blow our tops, to tell somebody off, don't we? Even though we're circumcised in heart and a new humanity, we have not lost the ability or the principle of being sinners. We are being born again. 1 Peter 1:23. Hallelujah. But there's a group of people, and I believe some of us are in the audience this morning, glory to God, that's going to take a step by faith of dimension beyond the message of circumcision. And the message that God's bringing across the land today is castration. Some's born castrated, some's been castrated by men, and some become volunteers and castrate themselves. Not naturally. Get this out of your mind. We're talking about spiritual castration. We're going to cut ourselves out and destroy the principle of the seed principle in our minds, in our lives, and we're going to become inable and incapable to reproduce sin in the flesh. Now, when you come to the principle that you cannot reproduce in any dimension, the first thing you're going to do after a few months is lose the desire. And when you once come to the consciousness that you are becoming what He is, 1 John 4:17. And there's a principle in you that's incapable of failure, which is God Almighty. There's a principle in you that's incapable of sin. And when you begin to live that way and do that way, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to lose the desire to sin. There's a few areas in my life I cannot be moved in. And there's no need to tell you how bad I used to be, but I was a sailor. That ought to tell you enough. But you could make the Pacific Ocean out of Jack Daniels or Canadian Club. And I could swim in it this morning and it'd have no effect on me. I have been circumcised, come on, and castrated, and become a eunuch in the area of alcohol, it has no power over me. I don't believe I could get drunk if I wanted to, and I don't want to because I've lost the desire for it.
And there's a lot of other areas. Oh, God. How many believes that we got to go and feed the mother? Take care of the woman. I got about a half a dozen hands. We got to do it, but we got to do it the good spirit. And I'm just now, God's now bringing me to a place. But there's three classes of eunuchs here. Those that was born, those that was man-made, and those that are volunteers. And I believe the army that brother read this morning is one of my favorite sermons. But every man in Joel's army is a volunteer. Paul's charged the Timothy, said that a man that goes to war does not entangle himself with the cares of this life. My God, you can't have two masters. You can't have two servants. You can't serve God and the flesh and the soul man this morning. If you're going to be a part of Joel's army, you're going to have to be a volunteer and not be entangled with anything in this life. My God, I'd hate to be on one of the beaches. Telephone rang and Mama wanted to talk to her baby boy. Huh? But we're just that bad in the army of God. You know, let me offend you just a little bit. Have you learned to love me enough now that I can offend you? Jesus said, let the buried dead bury the dead. And there'll always be a daddy to bury. Come on. Well, see, I done offended you. But there's always going to be something that will attack you from the divine purpose of God's army and to be an overcomer if you let it. So you're going to have to come to the place to deny everything, even self. And when you once learn, praise God, that you're losing the desire to reproduce in any area of the carnal, fleshly man, pretty soon, glory to God, you're going to lose the incapability of doing it. But as long as you've got a desire, you're still capable. Well, hallelujah. I want to give you some scriptures. I want you to read them. Hallelujah. I probably won't take time to read them. Hallelujah. But I want to show you one thing for sure, that circumcision does not complete the job. There has to be a castration of the seed principle in our carnal mind. And the desire to reproduce after the flesh must leave us. For to be, come on, fleshly minded is death. To be spiritual minded is life and peace. But you see, we're going to lose the ability to sin. Whew. I challenge you, that's really into this thing and really been called of God, just to go home and make up your mind you're going to backslide and go back into the bar business and be a sinner. Can't do it. I'll guarantee you can't do it. And fact of it is, if the thought comes into your mind, you won't even pay no attention to it. Because you're a eunuch in that dimension. Whew. Some of these decisions wasn't easy, but they were eternal that we have made, and thank God for them. And I can't be in touch with them anymore. I haven't lost the ability to make money, but I've lost the desire to make money. What in God's world is that stuff? It's worthless. In Germany, it just blowed down the streets. The Marx had to have a wheelbarrow full to buy a hamburger. And it's coming to America. And it's coming to a place and it's almost at our doorstep. Praise God, you can't buy or sell without a mark. I don't care how much money you got. And I don't want to get into this. But all of these eunuchs were absolutely castrated and had lost the ability to reproduce. And that's where we're coming to. Now, write this down. I'm not going to read it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, or Paul said, know no man after the flesh. Go with me to the book of Romans. Let's hurry. I'm going to get done by 12 because I got to go to Mississippi this afternoon. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Who in the world is Romans? Romans 8. Am I helping anybody this morning? Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here's the key. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do I walk after the flesh? Be fleshly minded. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, you can be fleshly and carnal as carnal can be and never go to Joe's barroom.
You can sit around and worry and fret how you're going to pay your bills and how you're going to build the church and how you're going to get the ministry going and all that and still be carnal-minded.
Well,
aren't you supposed to worry just a little bit, Doc?
No. Worry. Oh, God. Is absolutely the result of faith. You cannot have faith and worry. I just got 50 years. Glory to God. Verse 6, to be carnal-minded.
That's not too hard to understand. But to be spiritual-minded is life. God's life, Zoe life, and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. You're going to have to destroy the carnal mind. But to be spiritual mind is life and peace, because the carnal mind is an enemy to God, because it's not subject to the laws of God, and neither can be. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh, verse 9. But you are in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Quit talking like the world, quit acting like the world, and quit identifying with the flesh. You're not a part of the flesh, you're a part of the Spirit, because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Paul goes on down to say in this chapter, he said, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll do what? It'll quicken or make alive even your mortal body. Moffat says your death, doom, self, doom, dying body will be made alive by the resurrected life of the resurrected Christ if you let it consume you and filter through you and absorb you and absolutely take control of you. You cannot do nothing but come for what it is. Well, Romans 8's got the whole program, and I don't have time to preach it to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the book of Esther, and I don't want to get bogged down here. I'm not even going to read it. Chapter 2 talks about the maidens. And Esther said, I'm going in to see the king. Amen. But there's a fellow that was in charge of the maidens. He guys, his name, he was a eunuch. And he's employed by Xerxes the Great, the king. And I'm going to deal with this Jezebel that he talked about. Guess who threw her out the window? Hallelujah. These fellows was castrated. They was dead to the flesh. Jezebel had no power over them. She was a chaste virgin. She was married to King Ahab. She had a husband, but she was a virgin. God knows this is strong meat, and a lot of people won't preach it, but brother, open the door, so I'm going to walk through it. Church, we've got a husband ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're still virgins. We won't let God have a relationship with us. We won't let the Christ reproduce himself in us. We want the gift. We want the diamonds and the gold and the silver and the automobiles and the houses and the lands and the prosperity and the prestige, but we don't want him to be Lord over us. I don't know, husband. Nobody will tell me what to do. I come out of the old freeholders before we into organized religion in the late 30s. And the freeholders people said, bless God, ain't nobody going to tell us what to do. We got the Holy Ghost. Open our mouth and God will feel it. Yeah, if it's the hot air. Ain't nothing going to come out if it ain't been put in, I'll tell you for sure. Open your mouth all you want to. If you ain't put nothing between these ears, ain't nothing going to come out the mouth. I'm trying to be nice. Oh, God. But we was taught to let nobody be Lord over us. Nobody going to tell us what to do. And that spirit got into Pentecostalism the last 40 years, and it swept the nation, and we're still there. But I'm telling you, God's going to raise up a people that will submit to him, and we will no longer be chaste virgins, but we'll lay and have a relationship with him, and he'll come and sup with us, and we'll sup with him, and he'll be able to reproduce God in humanity, and the nations of the world is going to see Lord God Almighty manifested in the flesh. Raise your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. And I don't know how pretty Esther was, but she was awful pretty. And there were six other maidens with her, just about as pretty. Can you imagine that big old boy? And I think he was black. Come in there and rub them down. Pour in the oil and the spices and the wines. How many know these maidens was rubbed and took care of for 12 months before they went in to see the king? Time of purification by a male eunuch that was incapable of having a desire. Why? Because if this man had not been castrated and was not a eunuch, he would have had a relationship with one of these maidens and defiled the seeds. See, we've got to come to the place that we'll be able, not be able to reproduce, or we're going to defile the seed of God. Still, we're still in here, brother. Whew! 6 months of oils and spices and rubbing and caressing and hair doing and perfuming and powdering. Never desire of the flesh. And let me tell you something. God has stirred us and dealt with this. We're going to go back into the mother church. We're going to love it and caress it and pour in the wine and the oil and bathe it and take care of it and change its diapers. Huh? And feed it in the bottle and deliver it and never have a desire to go back and be a part of it. See, a lot of us haven't got to the place yet that we still would like to go back and have some of that prosperity and recognition in international television. I wouldn't mind having a television ministry, but I tell you, buddy, one thing for sure, the world's not going to be evangelized by satellites. God, you go down the jungle, some of the places we've been and you other brethren have been, bless God, they stand out in the rain or in the cold to hear the message of the kingdom of God. They don't even know what a television is. The only way you're going to convince down people there's a reality in the Lord Jesus Christ is go down there and a hand-to-hand touch and demonstrate to them that you love them and the kingdom of God is real. And honey, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be by satellite. It's going to be by Joel's army that's going to walk through the land, praise God, and bring deliverance and feed the nations and resurrect those and open a prison house and set the captive free. Somebody praise God. Woo! You're not willing to deny yourself and take up a cross and go to the foreign field. Live on bread and water. I learned one thing about going into the villages. First thing I do when I go into the villages is count the dogs. If I count them the next morning, there's one missing. I know what I had for supper. If you never had no dog, you've never had a delicacy, I'll tell you for sure. The more you chew it, the bigger it gets. And it gets strange. If you don't eat, you offend them. So you got to be circumcised and castrated in that area, I'll tell you for sure. Well, I tell people this. If you don't want to go, you pay somebody else's ticket so they can go. Because this gospel of the king has got to be preached in all the world. For a witness, for a demonstration, or an illustration before the end comes. Oh, well, in the flesh is right. Glory to God. Now, I don't have time, but I'm going to give you a couple more examples. And one of them is what Brother talked about in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30, the eunuchs threw her down. Hallelujah. In Revelation 6, we've been dealing with the churches. We're down to Pytheria now. And Jezebel is a part of that church. Now I want to read you just a little bit of notes that I had on Jezebel, if I can find them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A little bit of history on the city of Pytheria was built by one of the generals of Alexander the Great, which is built out of the division of four, or the mixture. And that's what's built most of the churches and most of our organizations. It's been a product of the amen, out of the division. You can't build a church unless another church splits. You can't build an organization, you know, there was no such a thing as the Pentecostal Church of God until the Assemblies of God had its first spirit over marriage and divorce. Maybe you're not that old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Church of God is split. And it all builds out of division. So this shows me there's something wrong. Amen. Of course, Jezebel is a chaste virgin. She didn't want to have a husband. But Jezebel is the type of the animal or the soul nation or the soul man that you really are. And somebody said something about the mixture this morning, see? And God said, don't you put the wild ass and the ox together. Don't put a piece of linen on and a piece of wool on because the wool will cause you to sweat. One of them is the type of the soul man and the other is the type of the cross man. So we've got to come out of the mixture. We've been partially soul and partially spiritual, but God's going to bring us out of that. Glory to God. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all the ways, and you don't receive nothing from God. But this Jezebel, part of the animal nature, she's full of zeal and zealous, and she's full of acts, she's full of thoughts, she's always got the solution to the problem. He preached it yesterday morning. I don't want to preach a sermon. But she's rushing. She's headlong. She gets her mouth in gear and her mind in neutral. Come on now. This Jezebel spirit's had the church flagged for years. And we just go headlong and we rush and we just do our own thing and we don't want nobody to tell us what to do. And of course, oh God, these are all the acts of the soul, and I'm going to shut this down in 4 minutes. But we come down in every thought that's not been destroyed and cut off becomes a relationship of committing adultery with the world. See, you can commit adultery without going to bed with somebody. Covetous and the lust of the flesh works, praise God, outside of sex. You still praying for me? See, this is the reason Paul said bring every thought into captivity. For out here. Because if it once gets into that inner ear, it gets into the equilibrium. That's the reason we're so unbalanced and we're so flustered and our equilibrium is off. Why? Because the thought has got into the inner ear and touched that thing that keeps us in balance. That's the reason we got to have the mind of Christ. We're wasting time about changing our minds. God changed his mind. No, we got to pray God kill him, get his mind plumb out of him, and give him a new mind. God ain't going to work out of an old changed carnal mind. He's going to work out of a new mind. Well, you didn't understand that, but it's all right anyway. The carnal mind's going to be an enemy to God. It's always enemy to God, not subject to the laws of God. Neither can be. You've got to get rid of the carnal mind and start thinking with the spiritual mind. So the eunuchs threw her down, and you know the story. And I like to preach on the skin of the hands and the skin of the feet. Now, I don't take time to preach on it, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. Glory to God. The eunuchs are going to set this thing in order. Because we're going to be in a place of God that none of these things move us, Paul says. We're going to go in and take care of the operation. Don't care to get a little blood on our hands and deliver the baby. But we're not going to throw the baby out with the dishwater, or the baby water, or the wash water, or whatever kind of water. Come on now. Be with me. Stay with me. I'm going to try to close. There was one other scripture that I want to give you. And I don't know where it was at. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 38:6, and I'm not going to read it. Jeremiah was a type of the ministry in this dimension. We had the type of the woman through Jezebel, and we had the type of the ministry here with Jeremiah. Jeremiah wound up in a pit, in the mire. No water, no life. Are you hearing me? And if you go down a little bit further where sister was, when Elisha came back, and they wanted permission to go find Elijah, and he wouldn't give them, finally he consented. And the first thing that they hit him with, the water is barren and full of death. There's no children born, and there's no animals born. Are you familiar with that? Just the next 2 or 3 verses down where she stopped yesterday morning. And if you look that up, you'll find that the word meaning there is miscarriage. There was nobody able to have birth. Everything was miscarriage. God knows that's where we are. We've been miscarriaging. Isaiah said we labor and we labor and we just bring forth the wind. And we're a type of Jeremiah that's in a well that's got no water in it, praise God, and we're bogged down to our knees in the mire. But God's got some news. That's got the solution. And they're going to reach down into the pit and pull the ministry out of the mire and set it up on a solid rock. And Elisha, the first miracle that he performed after he crossed Jordan River was bring me a new bowl. Amen? Brand new cruse. See, you can't put this new wine in new old bags. You just might as well get rid of the bag. Huh? And bring me a new cruse and a new handful of salt. Salt. I'll tell you, you're the salt of the earth, but you won't believe that. But he said, if the salt goes underneath the ground, it ain't fitting for nothing. I'll leave that alone. You can't be the lie of the world in the grave. You can't be the city of God sitting on the hill that everybody sees that cannot be hid if you're covered over with dirt. It's important you stay alive. Boy, it's getting awful quiet in here now. I've almost started another sermon. I'll stand. Let's stand. Turn around and tell somebody I'm the salt of the earth.
I am the salt of the earth.
Now tell somebody I'm the light of the world. Amen? It's 12 o'clock. We love you. God bless you. You want to say anything, brother, before I turn them loose? We need an offering. All right, we need $100 million this morning. Paul said, ask largely.
That's right.
It's coming, folks. It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God, pray for an offering before you take that thing off.
All right.
And the one.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this thy people that have listened so very tenderly this morning. God, we ask for a financial release for this camp and this place and this ministry. And God, we that have sold out, so to speak, into our very beings, we ask you, God, to have your way in our lives. Meet every need physically, spiritually, and financially, Father. God, we leave our peace on this place today. We thank you for this opportunity to come this way. And I pray, God, that this word will go into our hearts and we can hear by the Spirit. And God, somebody will reach out by faith and take the challenge this morning to be alive and remain when you come. Bless gift and giver today. Bless the food to our bodies and our bodies to your kingdom, and we'll give you the praise and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.